This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are delighted to welcome in local guy made good, Shams Charania, he of The Athletic and Stadium. Shams, how are you?
Hey, Shams.
Hey, guys. I'm good. Great joining you guys. Hope everything's well.
Yeah, we're doing great, and you're doing great. You got all the NBA stuff going on, and it must be convenient to have a lot of these players in town with the scouting combine. Help us out a little bit. When all this Zion stuff broke, you had the story about Anthony Davis still not thrilled about sticking around New Orleans, and I know they're going to try to change his mind, but it seems like he wants out. How wacky is this situation there? What is the truth about what's going on with Zion Williamson? The ridiculous report he'd go back to Duke. What's going to happen here?
Yeah, so to address the Anthony Davis situation, it's really just a game of leverage. You know, David Griffin, their new executive vice president, you know, they have to maintain some sort of leverage in this and maintain the value, the great value that Anthony Davis has with 1 year left on his NBA contract. But listen, Anthony Davis' stance, like I reported lottery night, it has not changed. He still wants a trade out of New Orleans, wants to go to a different situation, a winning situation, a franchise with which he can spend the rest of his career with and compete for championships. And this New Orleans getting the number one overall pick could ease the burden of them moving in Anthony Davis. I think this is the perfect time for them to ease into a move like this. And as I reported yesterday, Zion Williamson is 100% committed to whichever team drafts him. He met with both the Pelicans and the Grizzlies while he was in Chicago before he left. And, you know, I'm told he had a very positive meeting with New Orleans, and he's the number one pick. He's the guy that all these franchises have been targeting to really start their organizations with. And what better way to restart your franchise, reboot your franchise after an Anthony Davis trade, than to bring in Zion Williamson, who should be a culture changer right off the bat.
Shams, does Zion's approach to New Orleans and thinking that could be a place to kind of build the franchise around him to have anything to do with Anthony Davis staying or leaving? Is it independent of AD's situation? And then second to that, yesterday you reported also about Darius Garland leaving the NBA draft combine in town because he had a promise from a team. What's the latest on that one?
Yeah, so I think Zion, you know, he's open to playing with whoever. You know, obviously on paper, Zion Williamson and Anthony Davis would be ultimate front line, probably one of the best front lines in the league right off the bat. But I think they're both going in different directions. Anthony Davis has made his feelings known. The Pelicans, you know, are garnering whatever leverage they can have, and eventually they will move him, I believe. So it's just a matter of timing. And then with Garland, yeah, as I reported, you know, a couple of days ago, he did leave the NBA combine, and there's belief among several lottery teams that he has a promise in the lottery now. Whether that's the Suns, the Bulls, you know, I've heard every theory, but you know, between now and the draft, you know, his status, who he ends up meeting with privately or doesn't meet with privately, will be of intrigue over the next several weeks.
The worst the Bulls could have done was the eighth pick, and they got the seventh, and it felt like a big loss, frankly, because I think a lot of people were all fired up hoping they could move up. But what do you do with the seventh pick? What will they do with it? Is there a player or two you think they find interesting? Will they try to move it, try to get a veteran point guard maybe? What's the thinking with the Bulls?
I think you take the best available player. I mean, they could go a couple different routes. They've already drafted wing, you know, with Chandler Hutchinson and Denzel Valentine in previous years. Do they go with another wing and the guy like Cam Reddish or Jared Culver? Or do they go with a guard, a guy like Kobe White, Darius Garland, if he's available? You know, I'm told that they don't really believe that Darius Garland will be there at seven. So that leads you to believe maybe he's going to be gone, you know, maybe as soon as the Lakers or the Cavs or the Suns. But listen, if Garland slips them at seven, you know, he'd make the ultimate sense. 6'2", 6'3", point guard, can shoot, can pass, you know, really, as he told me a couple of days ago when I sat down with him, he believes he's a true point guard. And if that's the way you go, you know, a guy like him, Kobe White, but listen, they're going to have their plethora of wings to decide from as well. You know, Nasir Little. So this draft process will be interesting to see who ends up separating themselves. It'll take workouts to really determine this.
Shams, if the Grizzlies go with Ja Morant at number two and they take the point guard and they build around him, Mike Conley becomes expendable. There's a lot of interest or at least conversation in Chicago. The Bulls need a point guard. He's expensive, $65 million over the next 2 years, and yet you get a veteran like him. Is he on the market? Will he be on the market? And could you see him fitting with the Bulls?
Yeah, David, he was really close to getting moved to the Utah Jazz in the middle of last season at the trade deadline, and the Grizzlies end up pulling out of that deal. But there's no doubt if they end up going Ja Morant, you know, unless there's some trade that happens. Again, this is really early in the process. We're about a month, you know, out from the NBA draft, so a lot can change. But if they do keep that number two pick, go with Ja Morant. You know, you would imagine that the next move they make is trying to line up a deal, whether it's, you know, a team like Chicago. There are really only a handful of teams that need point guards, right? You have Chicago, you have Orlando, you have Phoenix, Utah. You know, I think Utah is going to revisit those talks. But, I mean, the amount of teams that need a point guard is very limited. So I definitely see the Bulls, unless they get a guy like Garland or Kobe White in the draft, I do believe they would be in a market for any type of veteran point guard, whether that's a free agency or trade.
Shams, the Lakers just looked like a mess. It looked like they hired two head coaches, and LeBron, what was going on, Magic leaving, and now they end up landing that fourth pick. Maybe now they do have enough kind of assets to go after an Anthony Davis. Maybe they can make some kind of noise. What's going on with that team, and what do you expect from them?
Yeah, I think if you look at potential packages, the Lakers probably have the best package right now. You look at all the young players that they've compiled, you look at the number four overall pick that they have, you know, their package is going to be as lucrative as any. You know, Boston, if Kyrie Irving leaves, I don't know their appetite to go make a trade for Anthony Davis. You're not giving up Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown or multiple young assets and players to go get a guy like Anthony Davis who may leave in a year, especially if Kyrie Irving's not there. So if you eliminate Boston, you know, which other teams could be in play? I think the Knicks, even though they ended up at three, I still believe, you know, if they ended up at one, you know, they were really going to be looking toward moving that pick for Anthony Davis. So the fact that they moved to three is going to hurt their chances. But still, you know, with Kevin Knox, with Mitchell Robinson, the number three pick, I think that's still a viable package. Me personally, I think it really comes down to those two teams.
Shams, the most forgotten guy in this draft class, I think, at the draft combine this week might be R.J. Barrett, the guy that is slated to go third. You had a nice sit-down with him yesterday. Before the season started, before Zion became Zion, the phenomenon, and before Ja Morant came on the scene, R.J. Barrett was maybe projected to be the number one overall pick. What were your impressions of him, and is he a lock for the Knicks?
I think you know, RJ is a guy that the Knicks are definitely looking closely at, but this is going to be a process. I think they're going to bring in guys like DeAndre Hunter and Jarrett Culver. They, you know, at number three, the wings in this draft, Cam Reddish, they're pretty close. So I think the Knicks are going to want to bring everyone in and see, but there's no doubt there's familiarity with RJ Barrett. Both of his parents went to St. John's. So I think there's a lot of familiarity there.
Is Cam Reddish just, is it, you know, you keep hearing that you don't know if the guy has the competence. Now, he was totally overshadowed by two of the best players in the country. I mean, what
that's
does he have
why,
to do?
Maybe.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What does he have to do to prove that he belongs higher in the draft than he seems to be falling?
Yeah, I think a lot of the questions are the motor, the work ethic, but listen, I think, you know, his biggest thing in this draft process will be to prove that that's, you know, him getting overshadowed by the Zion Williamson, the R.J. Barrett watch. You know, I think, you know, I sat down with him a couple of days ago. He's in a good place right now. I think he's ready to prove to teams that, you know, the fact that he was playing behind those two guys, I think, you know, I think he's going to motivate him and drive him, and the pressure that came with playing at Duke, I think he came out the better from it.
Shams, has Kevin Durant played his last game as a Warrior?
No, I don't think so. I think he's going to return at some point during the NBA Finals.
Okay, so Portland lost that game, and now they're not going to win that series. I'm just kidding. They came close.
Hey, great stuff all
Shams,
week, Shams.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
That is that is always fun.
Mr. Shams, Information.
Sharania from The Athletic and Stadium, and, of course, Loyola.
Loyola grad.
He's a proud
gambler. Well, that was why we had him on.
Should have asked him if Porter's going to the Knicks. Oh. Should they have hired Porter at the Lakers? David's desperate to get rid of him.
Michigan.
Yeah, see? That's what I'm saying. We're going to bring in Jason Sobel from the Action Network next. We'll talk to him about the PGA Championship. Is Tiger done? Can we scratch his name off the list? Is it conceivable, likely, will you, that he doesn't make the cut?
Is my guy Koepka going to run away with it?
How can you, when everyone in the country took Koepka, claim you have some great understanding of life? Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We can't wait to see what's next, Tiger. We can't wait to see what's next, Tiger.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're delighted to welcome in Jason Sobel. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Jason, of course, covering the PGA Tournament for the Action Network. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Morning, Jason.
What's up, fellas? I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, you know, it's so funny because it's really all it's Koepka's world, and we're just part of it. And he's running away with this thing, and even he is bristling that the only topic of conversation is Tiger. And it's so fun because Tiger, you know, you appreciate his ups and his downs and. His downs, and he was very well up, and now he's very well down.
It just happens that way. And Brooks Koepka is there's nothing like Brooks Koepka. There's nothing in the history of golf like this guy, which is on ordinary weeks, 48 weeks a year, he is a good golfer and has a chance to win sometimes. And then 4 weeks a year, he's by far the best golfer in the world. And he goes to these major championships and just turns it on. I mean, I wrote a piece earlier this week on how players try to peak four times a year. Tiger's been saying this for two decades now. You know, I want my game to peak four times a year. And I wrote a piece on, you know, how do you do that? And most players that I talked to were like, I don't know. And half of them said, ask Brooks. And so I asked Brooks, and he goes, well, you know, I just take it nice and easy during the major weeks. You know, everyone else is stressed out. Everyone else feels the pressure. And everyone else is like, oh, my gosh, the major. And I just kind of like, hit some golf balls, go back to my house, relax, take it easy, and it seems to work for me. I mean, he just has this whole thing boiled down to just the easiest thing in the world when he talks about it, and obviously it's not as easy as he's making it look.
How much of it is the course maybe suits his game, and how much of it is just his laser-like focus when the majors come around?
Nah, it's all just him. I mean, at some point you can't just say, well, every major course suits his game, and that's why he plays them really well. It's him. I mean, this is not a coincidence anymore. This is not just, hey, in the last 3 years, we've gotten to four venues that really suit Brooks Koepka's game. It's just whatever the course is, he is good enough to go out there and win on that golf course.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.